Taco Bell.
I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
I'm at the Pizza Hut. I'm at the Taco Bell.
I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
We're at the Pizza Hut.
We're at the Taco Bell.
What?
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
What? 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 Mr. Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Is that really all the lyrics?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought there was more to it.
I'm at the combination
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to What the Heck? Strange, spooky, and confusing tales. The podcast all about stories that make us go, What the heck? I'm Victoria Howard.
And I am Laura Munson. And we are back after, and it just occurred to me, we haven't had an episode since Halloween.
Oh, shoot, we haven't. Well, that's okay. We told them that we were going to have a week off, ended up being a couple more, and that's okay.
Yeah, you know, I was slipping, and that's okay.
Slipping is okay, because sometimes we got to slip. You got to slip so you can recover.
And actually, this is a good segue to the shout-out I was talking about earlier, is that last week I was slipping because I double-booked myself because I was working with our photographer friend, Marissa Fields-Williams, who not only is she on exhibit here at Loom, but it is her birthday.
Yes, it is. So shout-out to Marissa for, first of all, delaying this episode. Jeez.
But delaying it for good reason, because she said, Laura...
compose and be a sexy bitch.
I was thinking to myself, wow, I'm not feeling great about myself right now because of my mental health. And then she said, let me shine some pretty lights on you and use our camera and make you look really cool and make you feel better about yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
Which that wasn't the purpose, but that's the effect that I got.
Exactly. Marissa is wonderful. She is an artist, a photographer,
and she's 23.
She's 23 today. Yes, happy birthday. Today is the 20th, and so it's not the 20 whatever it is. This is going to go up 25th, but yes. Happy late birthday from the 20th on your birthday, Marissa. Tonight we'll be celebrating you with our group of friends that we are always around and are our safe space in terms of COVID.
Our social bubble, as I like to call it.
Social bubble.
I love referring to y'all as my social bubble because it sounds so... You know, if I say I'm going to see my friends, it's like, wow, Laura, you irresponsible thought. But if I say I'm going to spend time with my small social bubble,
then we're all set.
It's like, wow, she's so safe.
Yeah, our social bubble is my entire apartment and my roommates.
Which that's four people, including Victoria.
Yep. Laura, Marissa, and then our friend Sav.
Yeah, so that's...
And then I guess my boyfriend.
Seven to eight people. That's under 10.
Yes. And, I mean, most of us live together.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And two of the people in the social bubble are, you know, they kiss regularly, so.
Eh. I suppose. Alex did bring me a bagel this morning, which was very kind.
Aww.
I know. He said, I'm thinking I'm going to go grab a bagel from the bagel deli place. And I was like, wow, I want a bagel. And he said, I got you.
So. He's really the best himbo.
Don't get yourself a man's unless he's going to bring you a bagel.
Yes.
Okay?
Exactly.
Period.
So, speaking of special occasions, when you are listening to this, it will be the day before Green Bean Casserole Appreciation Day.
Yes.
Also known as Thanksgiving.
Yes. Personally, I'm not a fan of green bean casserole. I will not lie. But...
Well, you also don't eat turkey, so...
Yeah, I do. For me, it is, in fact... Cheesy potato casserole appreciation day.
Cheesy potato casserole.
Yes. Ooh. So my father always makes this delicious casserole called cheesy potato casserole, and it is potatoes and cheese. That's basically it. Oh, and there's Ritz on top, and it's all crispy. I'm excited. The other day...
It's my favorite thing that white people do is they make like something like casserole-y and then put some sort of crushed up cracker product on top.
You know what? It's our peak is as white people is making a crunchy top.
Mm-hmm. I know my mom does that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, yesterday my dad sent me a photo of one of the drawers in his garage fridge. And he had asked me a while ago, like, what do you want to have for Thanksgiving? And I was like, anything carby and cheesy. And he said, I'm ready for your carbs and cheese. And it was literally, you know, like a drawer in a fridge. It was full of cheese, and then there was more cheese on the shelf above it.
Oh my god,
like many pounds of cheese.
You're gonna be so backed up.
I truly am.
You're not gonna go it's number okay. two for like a full day.
It's okay. I'm not exactly lactose intolerant, but a little bit. But like, it doesn't matter when you're just being thankful for surviving 2020.
Yes,
exactly. Oh my gosh, speaking of surviving 2020, originally we took that first week off because of the election. We didn't know the results. Now we know kind of the results, and
we're thankful.
We are thankful for projected presidential elect, because technically it hasn't gone through officially. Projected presidential elect, Joe Biden, and oh my gosh, Vice President elect Kamala Harris.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I don't particularly like Joe Biden. I don't particularly like Kamala Harris, but it's great to know that we don't have Trump in office anymore.
Yes.
And, you know, this woman has made great strides for multiple different communities. And it's cool to see. And I think it's going to open up doors for more progressive candidates in the future.
And I'll tell you what, I didn't mention this before, but I watched a lot of the election coverage because I like to torture myself. and the evening before Biden was called, as you know, they called the election, he gave a speech when it was pretty obvious that he was going to win, but you know, it wasn't official yet. And it just really, it made me cry a little bit because it's been so long since I've seen an elected official just speak to the American people about healing the nation and doing what's best for the American people instead of pushing their own personal agenda and insulting people and just being nasty. And he was talking about, you know, no matter how you feel about his politics, he was saying, I want to be a president for all Americans, regardless of whether you voted for me. We have a lot of wounds in this country that we need to heal. We need to find ways to find common ground. And it was just so nice.
Such a refreshing
change. It was really refreshing. I was sitting there
it's so nice that we don't have to listen to wah, 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 wah anymore.
It's like, good job, Joe.
Thank you, Joe, for basically doing the bare minimum, but, you know, it's so refreshing.
We gonna get there.
We
gonna get there one day. Baby steps, baby.
Baby steps, baby.
Baby steps.
Yes. Yeah, so what have you been listening to recently, Lara?
What have I been listening to?
Yeah, any new podcasts to recommend?
What have I been listening to? I don't think I've been listening to anything new in the past week. You know, just the same stuff.
The classics.
More Welcome to Night Vale, all that stuff.
Yeah. I asked you that and then I realized that I've pretty much just been listening to the same stuff too.
I did realize, and I made a TikTok about this, I was thinking about, I never really had Tumblr ever.
What?
Yeah, I never really had Tumblr. And when I got into college, a pack of lesbians that took me in briefly forced me to make a Tumblr, and I deleted it later because I didn't like it. But, you know, I started listening to Welcome to Night Vale either summer 2014 or 15, but I'm pretty sure it was 2014. And I was just like, wow, this is an interesting show. And I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. Oh my God. I remember. The reason I know about Night Vale is from the Tumblr drama and nonsense.
I had no idea that summer 2014 was when Night Vale was replaced by the Ball Pit.
Yep.
I just thought, wow, by the Ball Pit. A nice show. The Ball Pit was happening at the time.
If you're unaware of what that is, go educate yourself on American history.
just search Ball Pit 2014.
Just search DashCon? Question mark? And then go into the pit, because it's a very deep pit.
Yeah, it's a very deep ball pit.
It's not really, but
yeah, it was really small.
Like a foot deep.
So, anything else to cover, darling?
No, I do not have anything else to cover.
All right, so let's get into it.
Do you think that our listeners would kill me if I just spoke in a fake British accent on all podcast?
I don't know.
Perhaps I'll consider it for one day.
There's a couple incidents. instances in this episode where actually we could just start speaking in British accents and it would kind of make sense because the story is kind of British.
Ooh.
Well, it's also very American because it goes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm going to be talking about today, and it's really funny because this is the episode that, you know, it's the story where I was like, oh, I can't research this late at night because it's spooky.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The reason for that is because a lot of the research for this subject is very video-based. You know, I read a lot of articles, but I also watched a lot of videos because of the nature of what this is. And the videos are very unsettling and weird, and they're just, like, creepy to watch. Uh-huh. So I didn't want to watch it, like, right before going to sleep. Because today I'm talking about famous broadcast signal intrusions from the 70s and 80s.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay. And when you said spooky, that's not exactly what I was expecting.
Yeah. And it's really, it's funny because it's a subject that, you know, there's creepypastas everywhere all over the place about it. You know, it's a very, like, urban legend heavy subject. And a lot of the videos about this subject actually have a lot of them that are very obviously like, you know, is there proof that that actually happened? So in doing my research for this, I really had to make sure I'm talking about the ones that did actually happen. Because some of these videos will be talking about it and then they'll be like, all right, and then this Reddit user claimed that he heard this audio late at night while listening to his college radio, and it's just like someone going, like, it's,
it's not legitimate, and if it is, it's because someone was acting stupid.
Yeah, that's, the funny thing is, you can usually tell if you're hearing a story about a broadcast signal intrusion, it's, you can ask yourself, does this seem like something from a creepypasta, or does it seem like somebody doing some fuck shit, and if the answer is fuck shit, then it's probably real, because all of this is just absolute nonsense.
I'm excited.
So, for those of you who don't know, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, TV was, you know, cable didn't exist yet. It was mostly broadcast signals over airwaves or using satellites, so it was relatively easy to just, you know, aim your antennas and satellites correctly and just hack a signal.
Ooh.
And then someone would be watching the news and suddenly they'd be seeing your broadcast.
Ooh.
And, you know, when that started happening, there weren't a lot of laws about this because nobody really expected this to happen. So this story actually kind of covers the development of the laws surrounding that. So the first major incident of a broadcast signal intrusion, and probably the spookiest actually here, it took place on November 26, 1977 in the UK on Southern Television, because it was the Southern UK. You know, I have a lot of sources here that I just kind of, but I got a lot from Wikipedia and also from a video by That Creepy Reading on YouTube, because that was one of the better videos talking about some of this stuff. But
honestly, I love a good video that's just like a guy being like, top 10 creepy recordings.
Yeah, that's basically where most of the information about this stuff comes from. And then I see it and then I go and corroborate it somewhere else because it's like, okay, sir. So, November 26, 1977, it was the Sunday evening news at 5 o'clock, and at 5:10 p.m., the audio cut out. So, you know, the visuals were still appearing on screen of the newscast, and then afterwards a Looney Tunes cartoon, which is funny.
Okay.
But it was a 6-minute long audio message, and it began with, this is the voice of Vrilon, a representative of the Ashtar Galactic Command speaking to you. So I realized I actually have the audio right here. And it was a deep distorted voice that claimed to be Vrilon.
Vrilon.
A representative of the Ashtar Galactic Command. And he sounded like this.
No. Wait, was this playing over,
It was playing over the news.
Cool.
It was the Sunday evening
Looney Tunes?
News. Yeah, and then Looney Tunes. And these people are just sitting there. And basically, Verlaine's message was that the alien race had been observing the human race for quite some time and warned the humans to put aside their weapons of war and destruction so that they could ascend to the next level of evolution.
Oh. Well, I mean, I do think that they are in the correct mindset.
I mean, yeah, and, you know, a lot of people in the area who heard this were understandably freaked out, but yeah. In later years, people, like, read the transcript of the message and said, you know, he's kind of onto something. Whoa.
Whoa.
But, you know, people were just trying to drink their tea and watch the news, and this happened, and they were freaked out. And the station staff did not actually know until later that it happened. Like, when it was happening, they just thought that's why nobody did anything about it, was because they did not know what was going on. So later they had to issue an apology, and they claimed that it was a hoax. However, the perpetrator to this day has never been identified.
That's a little sus.
Yeah, so some people do believe that the message did originate from aliens. But more people...
No. I'm sorry, that message.
Yeah, more people have pointed out that, first off, the aliens only hijacked a TV station in rural southern England.
Uh-huh.
And also, the alien voice spoke with a British accent.
Maybe he's just been watching, like, a lot of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You know, that was me when I was, like, 13. Spoken a British accent for no reason.
Which is funny, because Doctor Who comes in later in this episode.
Oh, goodness.
He also gets interrupted. Oh. So, most people believe that it was some local person trying to pull a prank, or a broadcast student, or a Southern Television employee who was just pulling a hoax.
Yeah, I think that'd be funny.
But to this day, no one knows the truth behind Vrilon of the Ashtar Galactic Alliance.
Oh, very interesting.
So, up next, fast forward about 9 years later to April 27th, 1986. HBO was relatively new at the time, and people were watching HBO's telecast of a 1985 film, and at 12:32 a.m., suddenly it cut out, there were color bars on the screen, and a message in white letters said, "Good evening, HBO, from Captain Midnight." $12.95 a month? No way.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Not the $12.95 a month.
It said $12.95 a month? No way. Showtime/movie channel? Beware. So the engineers at HBO were like, what the fuck? And they started trying to take back over the satellite, but the other signal was so strong that they eventually had to back down so that they didn't damage their equipment.
How does that even work?
It was... strong. It was strong.
The science behind it.
I really don't understand it either, but it appeared for about 5 minutes and then it just disappeared.
Ooh.
And so then they were trying to figure out what the hell was going on there. And this one, the guy was actually caught. His name was John R. McDougall. And he wanted to protest HBO's prices, which he thought were too high. He was currently working at his second job as an operations engineer at the Central Florida Teleport Uplink Station and used the satellites there to... He basically aimed a signal at the HBO satellite and took it over.
He said, that's mine now, baby.
He just took it. And apparently, he began his message with a polite greeting, as he did not want to be insulting. So that's why he said, good evening.
Oh my god. Wait, was it Mr. Midnight or Captain Midnight?
Captain Midnight.
They should make an HBO series about him.
They really should. Apparently, really funny, he took it from some other show that was from, I think, the 60s or so. But basically, he also owned a satellite. Store. So, yeah, he sold satellite dishes, and his business was suffering because of companies like HBO that were charging so much for cable. Yeah, you know, he was having a rough time, partially because of HBO. So he decided to protest.
By being Captain Midnight.
He became Captain Midnight. So he ended up accepting a plea bargain. He received a $5,000 fine. He was put on unsupervised probation for 1 year and had his amateur radio license suspended for 1 year.
Aw.
But later he was arraigned and freed on a $5,000 bond after he was arrested. So later, when he was interviewed a couple years after, he said, "I do not regret trying to get the message out to corporate America about unfair mm-hmm. pricing and restrictive trade practices."
He said, "Fuck your capitalism."
Said that was the
Fuck
impetus
monopolies.
For doing what I did. That's the reason I jammed HBO. That's the reason I sent them a polite message. What I do regret is that I was young and fairly naive in the ways of the media. I didn't grasp the fact that no one understood my motives and that everyone would make assumptions. Had I known that up front, I would have been more fervent in explaining my motivations. I had no animus and no malice in my heart.
Aww.
So, Captain Midnight. Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. I think he's still just vibing out there in Florida. But he was misunderstood.
Ugh.
He was a misunderstood guy.
Poor Captain Midnight.
So, fun fact, Captain Midnight was basically the blueprint. And after this incident was when they started to put laws in place, which brings us to September 6, 1987.
Okay.
Did you know that you used to just be able to watch porn on TV?
Like?
There was a Playboy channel.
Just porn?
Yeah, they would just broadcast porn. It was always late at night, but it was the Playboy channel, and they would just broadcast some porn.
So, you know, it doesn't necessarily surprise me.
So, one night, they were broadcasting some softcore porn on the Playboy channel. It was a full-length film, and all of a sudden, everything cut out, and it was disrupted with a text-only religious message that read, "Thus saith the Lord thy God, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," which are the Bible verses Exodus 28 and Matthew 4:17.
Hold on, imagine you're like just, you know, trying to enjoy yourself some softcore porn, you know, just vibing, having yourself a night, and then like that message just flashes up and it just like, "You need Jesus." Wow. That would be sad. So
it gets even better because they eventually tracked the signal to the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Oh, no.
And Thomas Haney, an engineer at the Christian Broadcasting Network, turned out to have done this independently.
Okay.
Using the Christian Broadcasting Network equipment.
Interesting.
So he worked there, but it was not. They didn't tell him to do it. Yeah. He just did it, and so then they suffered. So he ended up being convicted as a result of a new law, which made satellite hacking a felony after the Captain Midnight incident.
Oh my god.
He received 3 years of probation, a $1,000 fine, and 150 hours of community service.
Dang.
And there was a lot of back and forth between the Playboy channel and the Christian Broadcasting Network.
I can imagine.
Because the Christian Broadcasting Network really did not want to admit that this happened. They were like, "No, that wasn't me.
That wasn't us. What are you talking about? We just, like, want to watch VeggieTales."
No, we're just watching some VeggieTales, you know, and then eventually it came out that, like, "No, we have all this tea and receipts on your boy."
Oh, boy.
So later that same year was probably the most infamous, legendary, and really stupid example.
Okay.
Of a...
Wait, hold on for a second. I just remembered that you were too scared to research these things.
Well, the funny thing is because... Here, I'll show you the next thing that we're talking about. Because you watch this, and it's just upsetting. Just showing her this with no context.
Oh, this one's the Doctor Who one.
Yes, it was a broadcast of Doctor Who in 1987.
Okay. Oh no. Fucking liberal. Oh Jesus. I don't particularly like the way that the camera's moving. Oh. Wow.
So, what I just showed Victoria with zero context, I was just going to talk about it, but then she made fun of me, so I had to show her that just to
listen.
So what I just showed her was the infamous Max Headroom incident, which, for those of you who don't know, Max Headroom was a very popular character back in the 1980s. He was marketed as an AI character who was computer generated, but in reality, he was actually a man with practical effects to make him look like a computer generated character. So,
interesting.
This figure in this video is wearing a mask of Max Headroom and sunglasses, and the weird spinning thing behind him is supposed to emulate the computerized backgrounds that are usually accompanying Max Headroom. So basically, it's November 2nd, 1987 in Chicago, Illinois. There were two separate incidents involved in the Max Headroom incident. The first one took place for 25 to 28 seconds during the sports segment of WGN-TV's 9 p.m. news broadcast. There was hardly any sound, but the image was still frightening. The figure bobbed around in front of the spinning background as a buzzing noise played. That was from an article on All That's Interesting. After 30 seconds, signal engineers at WGN, who broadcasted Channel 9, switched the frequency of the studio link to another transmitter, bringing the anchor back to audiences' screens. And he said, "Well, if you're wondering what's happened, so am I." And he continued his previously scheduled broadcast. Now, that had no sound. What I just showed Victoria was the second one.
Okay.
Which occurred 2 hours later for about 90 seconds during the PBS affiliate WTTW's broadcast of Doctor Who.
Okay.
So, it started off with this weird masked figure saying strange and seemingly nonsensical phrases. He was laughing, moaning, and screaming. And it ended with his exposed buttocks being spanked with a fly swatter by an unseen woman.
All I know it was a woman.
And the audio was very heavily distorted. We don't see anybody's faces, so nobody really knows what happened there.
And
the reason the second one lasted so long is that there were no engineers working at the time.
Oh, no.
So people were just trying to watch Doctor Who.
A little family-friendly entertainment.
And then that happened.
Oh, no.
And it was about 11-ish p.m., 10 or 11 p.m., mm-hmm. So, you know, it's dark out, you're chilling, you're winding down for the night, and that bitch shows up.
No, thank you. I feel like it was most definitely some, like, broadcast student in his early 20s.
Yes.
Just fooling around, and that's really funny.
And the thing
but
is...
But also, I would be scared. I would be.
Yeah, it was really disturbing. And to this day, the hacker has never been identified.
Dun, dun, dun!
And the thing is, if he or she identified themselves today, the statute of limitations would actually be up, so they would likely face no charges. So I just really want somebody to confess.
Yeah, I want to know. Really,
and I feel like a lot of people on the internet, you know, people have tried to make it into this mysterious, spooky thing, but it's pretty obvious from this video that it's somebody probably on some uppers, with some very impressive technological, you know, and it was probably a group of at least three people.
Yeah, because the camera.
Because somebody's filming,
guy,
somebody had to spank him, somebody had to be Max Headroom, and somebody was spinning this, like, corrugated metal in the background to make the background. So it was a group of people, and I just need somebody, you know, before they die, I need them to just be like, hey, it was me, because you know. It would be a whole thing. And nobody has even come forward to admit to it. Because, you know, when things like this happen, there's usually like 5 or 6 people who say, oh, it was me.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's actually come forward.
Really?
No.
Wow. That's
so
interesting.
Nobody really knows how this happened. But
this was the 80s, right?
It was 1987. And it is believed that they would have to have some very, you know, at least $1,000 worth of equipment to accomplish that.
Wow.
So it was very impressive.
$1,000 in the 80s is like $100,000 now. So.
Yes. So, but, you know, this was after the Captain Midnight Law kicked in, so.
Wow.
An FCC spokesman at the time said, "I would like to inform anybody involved in this kind of thing that there's a maximum penalty of $100,000, 1 year in jail, or both."
Wow. So,
you know, they were getting really irritated. They were like, I'm fed up with this bullshit. So, The last two are kind of smaller incidences that happened.
Every single incident is important, though.
Yes, but they are quite different because all of these, they happened in the 70s and 80s. They involved broadcasts. So these are some cable interruptions that happened in the
2000s. Oh, no.
So somebody at Comcast in 2007 replaced the Disney Channel program's Handy Manny with hardcore pornography.
Oh, no.
In New Jersey.
No. So I love Handy Manny.
Somebody was watching Handy Manny and it got replaced
with a handy.
Actually, no, it was hardcore, so it was probably way worse than that. And a lot of families saw that. So understandably, everybody was like, Comcast, what the hell? And they said, oh, sorry, we're going to conduct an investigation into that. And then, nope, they never announced the findings to the public.
Oh.
They just kind of let it die. So maybe Comcast. They caught somebody, but it's just Comcast just what said, happened? We'll put up a sticky note, like, get to that later. So, then you'd think that, you know, that first time, that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
But February 1st, 2009, another Comcast incident
In
Tucson, Arizona, during the Super Bowl between the Arizona Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Steelers during the fourth quarter. More porn happened.
No!
For 28 seconds.
How did they get away with...
And then they said, oh, sorry, we'll investigate that. We got you. And people are like, do you? 2 years later, though, 2011, former Cox Cable employee Frank Tenori Gonzalez was arrested by the FBI and local police in relationship to the case. So they caught that guy.
Okay. That's really funny.
Then on September 7th, 2012, the Disney Channel was once again interrupted on the Dish Network, not Comcast. This time it was Dish.
Switched it up.
And it replaced 6 whole minutes of Lilo and Stitch with hardcore porn.
No! Not Lilo and Stitch!
6 minutes.
Was it
the
movie or was it like
it was the movie.
Oh my god.
Across
all of Dish?
I think so. Yeah, it was all of Dish. So not only did this happen 3 times, but twice it was on the Disney Channel and twice it was on Comcast. So,
oh my god, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Although, like, that'd be a little bit traumatizing.
I mean, it was definitely traumatizing, but, you know, it's like, imagine just, and that's how you know it's somebody who's just like, I'm disgruntled. What am I gonna, I want to do something really just bad. I know.
I want to interrupt today's youth.
I'm just going to interrupt Disney Channel with some hardcore pornography.
Holy shit.
So, just to close this out.
Oh my god.
Yes.
I can't, first of all, why would you hurt Handy Manny like that? Second of all, imagine you just watching Lilo and Stitch with your, like, 4-year-old.
You have to explain what they just saw. They're like, what was that, Mommy? I don't remember that scene from Lilo and Stitch.
Oh my god.
What were they doing?
So,
they were fighting, son. But I feel like that's like the inverse of the Playboy Channel, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's funny, like, the two different sides. It's either you're interrupting porn or you're interrupting with porn.
Yes.
Wow.
We love interruptions here.
Do we?
No, we don't, actually. So, just to close out, now, this is not technically a broadcast or cable interruption, but it does show up on a lot of these lists, and I wanted to include it because it happened on February 11th, 2013, my 15th birthday, while I was, like, going to get my learner's permit. Little did I know that out west, some shit was going down.
Oh, no.
So, Great Falls, Montana.
Okay.
During a broadcast of the Steve Wilkos show, which I don't know much about it, but based on the footage I saw, it seems like it was kind of like Jerry Springer or something, because it was just people fighting about their personal issues on TV.
Okay.
Suddenly we hear that brr, you know, the emergency alert signal. And a distorted voice says, civil authorities in your area have reported that the bodies of the dead are rising from their graves and attacking the living.
No.
And then it was very, very official sounding because it said, you know, please follow the instructions on your screen as the situation develops. Do not attempt to approach or apprehend these bodies as they are considered extremely dangerous. Shit. So then the station had to be like, we didn't authorize that. That's not happening. It's okay. There are no bodies. But later that same night in Marquette, Michigan, pretty much the same thing happened.
That's so scary.
And then it happened again in the early morning hours in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Then later on in New Mexico.
Wow, they were committed.
So everybody got one of these messages about zombies rising from the ground.
That's
attacking the living. But later on, this led to the arrest of the hacker of the Four television station. Who, according to a video by Blame It on Jorge on YouTube, the guy just saw an unlocked back door of the emergency alert system security in Montana and said, oh, you know what would be really funny? And just walked in there and made this message.
That's so funny.
He said, huh, this is so fun. And then he got arrested. I couldn't find what charges or sentence he was given, but he definitely suffered for his zombie prank.
Wow.
So that is the story of some notable broadcast signal and cable signal interruptions.
That's really funny that he would just be like,
you know what I should do? Scare the public.
And he did.
Wow. That's impressive.
In conclusion, that's pretty much the last time a major broadcast signal interruption has happened. And, you know, not much has happened since just because of the development of technology and probably because more people...
Someone should do one again. Add some spice.
Add a little
spice.
I think that right now there's a lot of opportunity, and I think if I saw a broadcast interruption about zombies right now, I'd be like,
yeah. This may as well happen.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like a lot of people aren't watching cable or broadcast TV anymore. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are streaming. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, some people still use Sling and stuff, and also a lot of people will just watch like things like the presidential debates that you can access for free. So somebody could add a little spice.
Add a little spice.
A little spice.
Fun stuff.
Fun stuff. So should we do our special Thanksgiving? Heck yes.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Basically, we decided on the fly earlier to just say what we're thankful for.
Because tomorrow, when you're listening to this, tomorrow will be Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And although there's a lot of problems with Thanksgiving overall,
it's still...
the general theme of being thankful, I think, is very important in this current environment.
Yes.
You know, we have to be thankful for the smaller things in life because the larger things are kind of shit.
Yeah, so it's good to take stock of what you've got, the good and bad.
Yes, yes.
And just be aware, so.
Yeah, do you want to go first? Or should I go first?
Whatever you want.
Okay, I'll go first. I've listened to your voice a lot today. So I am thankful that I am about to graduate. I'm graduating in about a month now, a little bit less. Crazy stuff, very scary, and I kind of want to scream about it because it's scary, but also it's cool that I made it this far. So thankful that I graduate. I am graduating, and I'm also thankful for you, Laura.
Aww.
Because you're my friend.
You're so sweet.
Aww.
That's disgusting.
Punch a wall.
Also thanks.
Gotta feel manly again.
Manly. I'm thankful for men in dresses.
Okay.
Not attracted to them, just thankful for them. I'm thankful for Victoria as well.
Aww.
As well as all of our circle of supportive and wonderful young women who have kept me sane lately. I'm thankful for my career connections around here and my network and, you know, the fact that I do have employment right now because it has been very hard for everyone getting employment, and it has definitely been difficult for me trying to start my career after graduation. So I'm really glad that I am developing my career with Victoria by my side. Since we're in the same industry and we know all the same people. We really are. But it's good because we can help each other.
We be connecting each other with opportunities.
Yes, and I'm thankful for my family and just, you know, the people that I have the fortune of knowing and uplifting sweet. And the people who uplift me. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving food because
I'm so excited for some.
That shit slaps.
Cheesy potatoes.
Sweet potato souffle is what I'm looking for.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh my god, I just remembered sweet potato casserole because it's a casserole with a pecan crisp on top.
Yes.
That shit slaps.
My mom does a walnut and brown sugar and Rice Krispie treat topping.
Ooh.
And it's so good. Nice. It's one of those things that it could be dessert, it could be a side dish, it's really whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just delicious.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I'm so excited to eat so much food.
I'm also so
excited. I'm having three Thanksgiving dinners.
Really?
Yeah, because we're having one, like a little one with my mom, then I'm going to my dad's, and then it's actually Alex's birthday.
Aww.
So I'm going to their Thanksgiving for his birthday as well.
You're really going on a food tour. It's going to really be amazing.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm going to have one main Thanksgiving, and then, I don't know, probably going to go see my dad. I don't know what his side of the family is doing, because everybody is in a high-risk category, so they're probably going to, like, space out and yell hello, Happy Thanksgiving.
When I go to my dad's, I think that's what's happening. We're, like, going to all sit on the back porch and be like, hey!
Out your time?
Thank you for listening to What the Heck? Strange, spooky, and confusing tales. If you like what you heard, make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WhatTheHeckCast, as in podcast, and listen to our new episodes every-ish Wednesday. And tell all your friends about our show, because we really appreciate it. You can find us on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a rating. It helps us out and helps us to get more listeners so we can dedicate a lot more time to this.
And bring you more strange, spooky, and confusing
tales. Ooh. So y'all be safe. Social distance with your family.
Eat lots of food.
Eat so much food.
And be kind.
Be kind to yourself and to others.
Bye.
Goodbye. Boom.
Perfect.